Good morning. I know, I'm over here in the corner. It'll take you a minute. Welcome to this Fusion Sunday, in case you couldn't tell. This is the last Sunday of the month where we pay special close attention to the ways that we worship together, all ages, all abilities, and also in the many different places we are in our faith journey. So we try to do that through a variety of interactive ways. You will find in your bulletin this morning an insert sheet, quite a few of them actually, some with music, but one in particular that you are welcome to read over. If the sermon gets a bit boring, go right ahead. Familiarize yourself with the prayer stations that are set up around the sanctuary, and I will at that time invite you to choose one or as many prayer stations as you would like to participate in. You'll notice the labyrinth here up front. Please remove your shoes in order to do that. We also have an interactive prayer station involving ashes, and so we do ask that very young children be with caregivers when they do that. There are baby wipes to clean up as well. If you are worshiping with youngsters this morning, please make sure that you hold the bulletin where they can see it, and also the music and the hymnal, so that we all can interact in worship experience together. And yes, your child will get wiggly, and it's okay. For Fusion Sunday in particular, we welcome the joyful noise of all ages that sometimes we can't always plan for. So that's all right. Children are welcome to stay in worship this morning, but if you are feeling that they may need to get up and move around, the nursery is open this morning, and any time during worship you're invited to visit there. A few announcements I have non-worship related this morning. Please continue to keep the Jamaica Mission Team in your prayers as they return this evening. Confirmation class today, yes, room 3, come learn how to spell Presbyterian. And for anyone who is looking to learn more about what being Presbyterian means or membership here at GPC, there's a new members class next Sunday, 1 to 3. Even if you're already a member and want to brush up, you are welcome. We have one other announcement this morning.
Just to let everybody know that there's been a murder. And on March 17th, we're going to let you figure out who done it. It's only $10 a piece. It helps Guatemala. And if you don't do it, Tom's going to be very upset.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire beings to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
Please stand if you are comfortable and able to do so, and join together in the call to worship. The rich ride through the gates, as do the poor. The healthy ride through the gates, as well as the sick. Couples with new babies ride through the gates, and so do mourners in funeral processions. People with power ride through the gates, as do the marginalized. Some walk through the gates in silk slippers. Others pass through on bare feet. We enter through the gates of our Lord. We give thanks to God who called us here.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy Lord, we have tried to claim our gate as our own, to create barriers keeping other people out. We have made gates that exclude rather than welcome people in. Forgive us for closing the gate of your love rather than opening our hearts and lives wide to you. Amen.
Thank you. this time I invite the children to come forward, and I'm going to have you all come and sit in this first pew. You ready? Come on. Good morning. Good morning. Can you guys keep sliding down so more kids can find their way? There we go. Oh, you guys are great. And some of you guys, if you want to sit down on the floor, it's okay. You can do that too. Good morning. Good morning. You guys, some of you can sit on the floor. It's okay. Go ahead. Good morning. Did you know that it's Fusion Sunday? Yay! That means we have all sorts of fun things going on in worship. Did you guys spy some of the fun things happening in worship? What is this? There's a maze, kind of. It's a labyrinth. Very good. It's a labyrinth. And set up all over the sanctuary, you guys are going to have an opportunity to look at and pray with all sorts of different kinds of gates. But before we get started on those a little bit later, we are going to join God and fling open wide the gate of God's love that we celebrate in baptism. So you guys want to stay up here and worship with us as we celebrate the baptism? Okay, so you guys stay right there, and I'm going to have Owen and Tyler Perkins, along, who are little boys, they're very cute, along with their parents, Casey and Eric, to come forward. It's okay. You can. You're all right. Okay. See, it's all right. All right. We're going to hear some words of Jesus first. Yeah, exactly. So Jesus said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, because Jesus is always with us. And so obeying the words of Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize all those God has called. Because in baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. So by water, I know, and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. So we all remember this morning with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Owen Wayne and Tyler Clint Perkins, sons of Casey and Eric Perkins, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Casey and Eric, do you desire for Owen and Tyler to be baptized? Yeah. And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that faith to your child? Do you?
We do.
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Owen and Tyler by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church? If so, please say, we do.
Casey and Eric, in presenting Tyler and Owen for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ, embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus. It's okay. He can get down. It's all right. It's okay. He can run away. We'll find you. To profess your faith in Christ Jesus and confess the faith of the church, the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize, by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you? Do you intend for Owen and Tyler to be his disciples and to show his word and show his love? Do you? Yeah! Will you pray with me? me? Yeah. God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness, promised in this sacrament, and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we may say and do may be your word. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life with you. Amen. All right, I know. This is the exciting part you've been waiting for. Are you ready? Okay. Do you want to come sit, stand with me? Okay, good. Let's see. I don't want to knock your head or mine into that cross. I've done it a lot. Yeah. So, tell me your child's name. Tyler Clint. This is the water of baptism. Do you want to touch it? You can touch it. Oh, it's warm. Tyler Clint, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit. Down. Tyler, you are a gift of God and baptized. I told you there was going to be a lot of water. The name of the Holy Spirit. All right. And this is Owen. Come here, Owen. All right. Okay. Hey. No, we're not going to go down, are we? That's all right. I go with what you give me. Owen Wayne, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you are a beautiful child of God, both of you. Yes! Can we pray together? Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your children, Owen and Tyler. Watch over them, guide them as they grow in faith. And we also pray for their parents, Eric and Casey. Help them to know you, to love you, to teach your truth, and to teach the story of Jesus to their children. God, we celebrate the promises given in our own baptism and continue to serve you. Amen. All right. You all are invited to sing together from the green book, Wonder of Wonders, and we'll see if they'll come around and say hello. Do you want to walk with me? Okay, come on, ready? You want to go say hi to your church family? Come in.
You all can go back and sit with your parents, and in a few minutes, we are going to engage the prayer stations. Okay? Thank you. Hi.
The first reading of the word is from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said, "Do not weep." And then he came forward and touched the man, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God looked favorably upon his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country.
The Lord is my strength and my might. The Holy One has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Holy One does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, and God did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. During the season of Lent, we are using the theme from a study written by the stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church USA, Reverend Grady Parsons, called Open to Me the Gates. During worship and in two adult education opportunities starting next week, we will explore how gates are conceptually used through the Bible, and they serve as a metaphor for many of our Christian beliefs and practices and the ways they literally surround us in our daily life. So what is a gate? Merriam-Webster, of course, defines a gate as a structure that can be swung, drawn, or lowered to block an entrance of a passageway. It is an opening in a wall or a fence for entrance or exit. The structure surrounding such an opening, such as the monumental or fortified entrance to a palace or a walled city. We live in a world of gates. I want you to think for a moment about the gates you see in your daily life. I can't do the rest of that back there. I feel like I'm being walled off into a gate. So, Presbyterians, habits die hard. So, I'm used to preaching from here. A gate. Tell me, what are the gates you can think of in your daily life? And shout it out loud. I do this with the children. I expect, you know, you all to be able to do it too. So, a gate, where do you see a gate? Just shout it out, where do you see it? Doors, where else? Security stations, where else do you see gates? Backyard, very good, right there, yes, good job. Yes, train crossings, ooh, didn't think of that one. Yes, gardens, yes. Now what do gates do, what do they do? People, what do? Louder? Yes, keep people in, keep people out. What do they keep in or out? People? Deer? Yes, especially if you have a garden to protect. Dogs? Yes. Bunnies? Yes. See, guys are great. Squirrels? Gates are all around us. Think about all the gates that you see in your daily life. Now, when I first came here to this church to interview, I really thought that gates, that there was a physical location for the gate of gates. I was a little disappointed to learn that the town is actually named after General Horatio Gates, who defeated, according to the Gates Historical Society, the General John Burgoyne at the Battle of Saratoga in 1777, during the Revolutionary War. So Gates, New York, may not have an actual physical gate that it is named after, but most biblical cities protected themselves by means of a huge wall. And the only way in or out of the city was a gate. Now, they did more than just protect the city. keep people in or keep people out. The gate was the center of city life. The structure became a combination of a community center, a city hall, and a marketplace. People paid their taxes at the city gate. They settled official legal matters at the city gate. There were all sorts of shops and markets. So imagine, for our modern minds, a farmer's market, an H&R Block, Department of Motor Vehicles, Macy's, and an athletic club all in one place. Yes, Grease Ridge Mall, but all of it outside, and there's only one way in and out. But because of how common gates and important they were in biblical times, the biblical authors started using gates as a metaphor to represent the ways along the path of our faith journey that we encounter and we pass through all sorts of boundaries. And during the season of Lent that we began Ash Wednesday, this is the first Sunday of Lent, we are challenged to pay extra attention to that path, our journey with God, and discover those places where we experience openings and sometimes closings. Gates. Now, traditionally, one of the ways that people do this is to take on or give up in some sort of Lenten practice, right? Yes, head nods, Lenten practices. People don't necessarily have to come to church to be familiar with those Lenten practices. So what do people normally do that you've heard for Lent? What do? They give up chocolate, yes. Give up ice cream, cake, pie, yes. What else? Meat, yes, to give up meat. There's all sorts of things that people give up. And sometimes those of us who aren't as comfortable giving up things will take on a spiritual practice. So I'm going to pray every day with my family. I'm going to read the Bible every day. You've heard all of these things, right, that people do. And I've done one or really many of versions of those for my own Lenten practices throughout the years. But I've often ended the season of Lent, I don't know, feeling like something was missing. Each of those Lenten practices that I observed quite often ended up being all about me. What could I do? What could I do? And I was so determined to make sure that I was doing what I said I was going to do that I lost sight of those practices being a way to open myself to God and what God was doing in my life. I wanted to control it. I wanted to make sure that I was doing it right. That's what a lot of us do. Richard Rohr has a great quote where he says that resurrection takes care of itself. It's getting people into tombs that's hard. Just as nature abhors a vacuum, most contemporary people, both liberals and conservatives, abhor boundaries. Sometimes we face the challenge of a boundary in our own faith. And like a closed gate, we wonder, do we have the willpower to go ahead or to detour around to it? We believe that we are strong enough to fling the gates open ourselves. Or we believe we're apathetic enough to convince ourselves that it doesn't exist in the first place. And so Lent is a time when we redirect our attention to what is in our way of moving forward on the path of faith. How is God opening the way and inviting us through the gates? It's also a time when we ask, how is God possibly closing the gate and sending us in a different direction altogether? But before we find a way with God, in and through or around and outside of the gates, we take this first Sunday to simply gather at the gates. Identify the gates that exist for us on our faith journey. We explore what brings us to the gates. Are we gathering at the gate, grieving and hurting, like the mother and widow in the Gospel of Luke, to meet our Savior as he makes his way to the cross? Are we gathering at the gate, wondering, are we righteous enough to enter through it? No matter what our reason is for gathering at the gate, we can get really caught up in those Lenten disciplines and stop seeing each other as we make our way to the gate. And we struggle to hear the pain, the experiences, the stories of others. And that's one of the reasons that God gives us the church. Although the church can't mend every wound, patch every tear, pay everyone's bills, provide enough food for everyone, the church is a place where we can stand or sit with one another at the gates. It is the place where being together gives us a sense of what the gates in our lives are. That yes, we are human, and we are broken, and we are empty, but we aren't alone. The church, all of us together, are on this journey with God. And so we gather at these gates of prayer and reflection, and we do so together. May we encounter the many boundaries and openings of our faith journey this Lenten season with a heightened awareness of what God is doing and what God wants us to do in each of our lives. So we're going to take some time in worship to do this together. So you are invited, as the music begins, to visit one or more of the prayer stations located at the sanctuary doors here and also the labyrinth in front. If you don't get a chance to use the labyrinth in worship, it's okay. You are invited to stay after worship and pray and meditate with it for as long as you would like today. It will be here for anyone who wants an opportunity. But please make sure you remove your shoes. And if you have mobility concerns, there is a prayer station for you. As we project images of gates on the screen, you're invited to be in prayer about what are those gates that you find yourself gathering at. So let us begin now and gather at the gates.
Invited to visit the prayer stations following worship if you felt you didn't have enough time with one. But now we gather and continue our prayers to God and raise those prayers of joys and concerns that are within our hearts. If you would like to share a prayer out loud, please raise your hand so the usher can see you and put the microphone close. And of course, children are invited to share their prayers too.
Good morning. The Falkies could use a lot of prayers, and I'm sure they'll feel it. Howard's home from the hospital, has a bleeding ulcer, going to take a while. Doris has her usual aches and pains, but Howard is in tough shape over there, so hopefully she won't have to go out and go to a nursing home. We're all going to pitch in, so say some prayers.
Thanks.
My name is Arlene Tandy. I would like prayers for my youngest son, Rob. Some of you will remember you held him in your prayers 12 years ago while he was going through treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So his immune system is not the best. And this week his cold went to a sinus infection, to headaches, to nauseousness, to blurred vision, and then to double vision. He immediately went to his doctor and they ordered an MRI so we could rule out a tumor, which was what our fear was. He's seen his own doctor, an ophthalmologist, and a neurologist. The diagnosis at the moment is 6th nerve palsy, and it may work itself out, which sometimes palsy does, so that's what we're praying for. Thank you.
Prayers. Anyone else? There's one right there.
Hi, Lynn Schrammel. Prayers for a friend who's facing emergency surgery this week.
Cam Mosgraber. I want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for Nancy Smythe and a former principal at School 16 who both had the vision and the forethought to open the gate once again between School 16 and the Presbyterian home. There's a 10-foot chain link fence between the two, and that fence was there to keep both properties safe, and it took for years. It was literally wired shut. And Nancy and my principal sat down and said, it's time to get that wire out of there and make that gate open again, which allows people going back and forth. And it's great joy.
Carrie Dykes, I'd like to ask for prayers for Terry Atkinson, a friend of the family who's recovering from a possible stroke. Thank you.
Prayers for my friend Michelle, who's having a double mastectomy on Wednesday.
Valtarushan, this morning. I'd like to ask for prayers for a friend of mine who is on a respirator and the prognosis is very dim. Thank you.
Prayers. We have a prayer over
here. Well, it's just Aunt Nina. I really miss Aunt Nina because she's up in heaven.
Prayer.
She died because her husband died. She wanted to hang herself.
Okay. Prayers. And over here.
Many of you ask about our son, John. As you know, he's in Afghanistan. And he is at Bagram Airfield, which, of course, is where the riots were on Tuesday. And we just ask for prayers for safety. It's a very difficult, scary time for John and, of course, his wife, Sheila, and their two children, and all of us. Thank you.
O Lord, hear our prayers. Holy God, we are gathered at the gates of your love, and they invite us and to experience your grace and peace for our lives in the world. Often we struggle to enter through when the fearful world around us has built up gates to keep people out, where gatekeepers and checkpoints are the norm. This morning we offer to you, O God, in prayer, those who are suffering at the gates, for the people of Syria and Afghanistan where war and violence rages, for all who struggle with addiction, for all who live with unemployment and underemployment, and feel the pain of not being able to support their families. We also lift in prayer the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, Cindy Bulbach, who was diagnosed with cancer this week, for all those who are sick, dying, and grieving. We lift them in prayer. And we pray that the gates of our hearts may be open to the stories and experiences of the mission team as they return from Jamaica today. Grant them safe travels home. And we celebrate with the Perkins family the baptism of Tyler and Owen this morning. God, may your gates of love and grace be open for all of us in those waters of baptism. Lord, hear our prayers, those spoken aloud in the silence of our hearts. We offer them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let us continue our worship by celebrating the gifts that God has blessed us with and offering them back to God.
opens the way, we offer our lives with these signs of our daily living in thanksgiving for your love that is wide open to everyone. Amen.
Begin the season of Lent, opening the gates of our hearts to God's presence and the many different ways God invites us to gather at the gates, the spiritual journey of our relationship together. Go in peace with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.